Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 8th of June, recording at 9:32 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights. In stock markets, it's a mixed, generally quiet performance. Asian stock markets that did well were mainly some of the smaller markets, which have staged some particularly powerful late runs. Vietnam is a very good example of that. Now accelerating. European markets are mostly a bit lower. The North and South American markets were mixed, but of some note is the fact that Wall Street clawed back most of its earlier declines today. Long-dated government bonds, mostly a little bit steadier, although the U.S. market gave up some of its gains as Wall Street rallied or pegged back its losses. The short-dated U.S. contracts, though, were weak again today. They were absolutely hammered on Friday, as you may have seen from Owen's comments. Metals. We had further follow-through selling in gold and silver, and platinum was hit today, but all closed off their lows. Nevertheless, silver for July is below the $15 level once again, and gold is hovering just above the, well, it's 952 as I 45 as I speak, and the US dollar had rallied fairly strongly at one stage, but gave up most of those gains here today. Okay, so what's going on overall? Well, last Wednesday I talked about a possible sort of all change scenario in the short term for markets. Which had seen, in particular, we'd seen very strong stock market and commodity rallies. We'd seen considerable weakness in long-dated government bonds. And we'd seen a very weak US dollar, which was overdue for a technical rebound. And I think the only sector of those markets that has not shown some short-term countertrend moves would be the long-dated government bonds, because those have remained generally quite weak as people continue to revise their views in terms of global GDP growth. You remember, it wasn't all that long ago, 2, 3 months ago, that the people who were speaking most loudly were saying that the recession was going to carry well into 2010, and that people were still talking about a possible depression, and certainly talking about a great deal of deflation. But as economic activity has continued to suggest that the trough for this quite savage recession occurred in the fourth quarter of last year and the first quarter of this year, and that things would be less bad from here onwards, and less bad means improvement for in some areas, and certainly for the stronger economies. And that's been very much the Fuller Money view. So, as people have revised their expectations, inevitably there's been upward pressure on long-dated government bond yields, and the short-dated yields are experiencing some of that as well. After all, we've seen some of the lowest interest rates for long-dated government bonds in living memory. And it's unlikely that the fundamental background really merits those levels. Now, looking elsewhere in terms of stock markets, We're seeing some late runs by some of the small markets, some of the laggards. We haven't seen any real selling coming in yet, but what we have seen for many of the major markets is an overall diminution of upside momentum, a slowing of upside momentum. Now, that doesn't indicate that the rallies are over, but these type 2 bottoms, and for new subscribers, you may not be familiar with that term, although we use it from time to time. It's one of our three classic stock market endings from the chart seminar. And just to put you in the picture, it's a descriptive term, but basically, since early March, when Wall Street reached its important low, as did most of the OECD stock markets, and then followed the higher lead that we had seen earlier on from the emerging Asian markets and also the South American stock markets, the resources markets. When Wall Street turned up and effectively bringing all the OECD markets with it, we then had a global stock market rally of considerable strength, as you know. And those type 2 advances, which are described at the chart seminar as an extreme reaction against the prevailing trend. Well, the prevailing trend for the OECD markets back in March was still downwards. Most of them hit new lows, as you know, in February and March. Not so the Asian emerging markets, and not so the resources markets. But most eyes continue to focus on Wall Street. Now, certainly we have seen an extreme reaction against the prevailing trend, and it's big enough to cause us to conclude here at Fuller Money that almost certainly was a form of base formation completion, and that we have really seen evidence of a continued evidence, I should add, of a new bull market. But historically, the type 2 endings are characterized by these not explosive moves the way you often see with technical rallies in a bear trend, where you get a huge upward dynamic as some short covering comes in, and then a day or a few later you see a dramatic sudden sell-off. Now, the type 2s are usually characterized, as I mentioned at the time, as we talked about it throughout March and April and May, by persistence, very steady persistence, not to fireworks. So the markets just keep grinding it out on the upside with the help of short covering, with the help followed by new buying from investors, and that continues as the rally puts more and more pressure on investors who remain on the sidelines to jump in and to participate. But what eventually happens is that then that very persistent upward trend of consecutive weeks, and if you look at it on a daily chart, you'll see just little tiny steps where it'll pause for 3, 4 days, seldom more than a week, and then continue on the way up. That eventually gives way to a bit more rangy and often choppy environment, which we have also seen. And we're in that latter phase here right now. And when that very persistent advance becomes more rangy, a little bit more choppy, that tells you, of course, that supply and demand is moving back into a closer balance. And then eventually it spills over, and we experience the correction that I'm anticipating. So that's where we are at present. There has been no clear, decisive evidence that stock markets have broken downwards. We're likely to see that evidence first in some of the leaders. And if you look, for instance, if you look at Taiwan, as Owen and I were doing earlier today, that's been an absolutely spectacular performer on the upside. It is underperforming today. It has been for the last few days, but it still hasn't seen a bigger correction than it saw back. I think it was in April, so May. Sorry, I think it was back in early May when we saw a sudden more erratic pullback. But it didn't last very long, and then the market pushed upwards quite strongly. But overall, I want to emphasize that we're seeing supply and demand gradually move back into balance as more and more of the people who are buying have now established at least their initial stakes in these markets. Those who had been completely out, and others have topped up their long positions somewhat, and now people are beginning to think about backing off and waiting, and some people are beginning to take profits. So supply and demand moves back into balance and then eventually spills over, as I said before, into a correction. That's what I look for over the next few weeks and probably months. And I think that investors who would be worried to see a setback of 20 or 30% in some of these markets may consider their options, as they say, here today. On my long-term portfolio, for instance, I'm not going to be worried about a 20 or 30% pullback in some of my holdings. There's no guarantee that that will occur. But I think the point I'm making is that the odds of such an event have clearly increased. But I would just regard that as a reversion to the mean and an opportunity to increase long positions. So I'm not selling out any of my holdings, but anybody who would feel very uncomfortable riding out a 20 or 30% correction may want to cash in some chips in this current environment while markets are still firm. And what I would caution against is being pressured out. We never tell anybody what to do, but we do tell you what we do. But I would, and we tell you what we think the markets are going to do. It's your decision as to whether you trade more actively or take a longer term perspective. But what should be avoided, I think, is I feel is the urge to sell, because one becomes frightened if we do see a 20, 30% correction in some of these leading stock markets. Bottom line, if you're going to panic early. Or if you want to take your profits, take them while markets are still strong, not when they're in clear retreat. Now, so I think this is a time where I personally want to be quite cautious. I don't have any trading positions at the moment, for instance, but in the event of a reasonable stock market correction, I would certainly start to open some longs again. And I would also like to do that in some of the commodities. I don't know how far gold is going to come back, but it's in line with my script saying when I pointed out a week or two ago that gold was performance was somewhat flattered as it moved up close to $1,000. There was, and silver moved up over 16, that those performances were somewhat flattered by the weakness of the dollar, and that they were not participating against some of the firmer currencies. They were just ranging sideways, and those precious metals do best when they're performing against everything. So a pullback into the lower $900 region for gold is easily within the scope of possibilities. Probably we should watch silver, which will give the short-term trading signals. And I'd be delighted to see it pull back further. Of course, the market doesn't care. Silver doesn't care what I would be delighted to see or what I think about this. But technically, if silver, for instance, were to pull back to 14, that would be giving up half of the rally that excuse me, that it saw over the previous 2 months. So that's not beyond the bounds of possibility by any means. And I'm going to watch and wait. That's my message right now. And I think a stock market correction would also include a commodity market correction overall. And I feel that a bit of short covering in the US dollar could well coincide with those events, and that would create another opportunity to sell the dollar short. So that's my thinking at this stage. And I maintain that overall, this is basically an attractive environment. Monetary conditions are still favorable for stock markets for at least the intermediate term. And the time we need to worry is when we start to see several of the bigger countries make their second or third hikes in short-term interest rates. That's when I think the global stock market rally will be on will become more precarious. But that's not going to happen soon. Some are now saying, many people were saying a couple of months ago, that wouldn't happen until well into 2010, and some are now saying it may happen before the end of the year. We don't know, but we know what to look for, and we'll know how to play it when we see it. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.